This is EdUp Legal with your host, Deborah Solmore. She's an experienced higher education lawyer, most recently the general counsel for a system of nonprofit institutions, and she's going to be leading conversations about trending legal, regulatory, and compliance matters in higher education, with a focus on leaving out the legalese and making legal easy. Let's hear from your host, Deborah Solmore.
Welcome to another episode of the EdUp Experience Legal Podcast, Making Legal Easy. Today, my guest is once again Michelle Schuster at McMurray & Schuster. As promised, this is going to be the first in our monthly get-togethers, which before hitting record, we have affectionately named Monthly Meetups with Michelle, where we will dive into all things related to the lead generation and digital marketing space. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, you can find me on LinkedIn. Just shoot me or Michelle a message. So welcome, Michelle. It's great to have you back.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I am really enjoying doing these with you. So thanks for the regular invite.
It is my pleasure. And I am happy that on the weeks that you appear in these monthly meetups, I'll get to release two episodes. So that's fabulous. So during our last two sessions, we covered recent pronouncements, proposed rulemaking, and enforcement actions at the Federal Communications Commission, the Federal Trade Commission. And then in our last one, we talked a lot about what's going on at the state level. So I thought today we could spend some time providing clarity on the federal side as to the scope of each of these two agencies that we talk about, and really what is their purpose, what do they regulate, and what are they doing in the space? Sometimes I wonder if when we start using our acronyms, which I always say in higher ed, God knows there's so many acronyms, when we start using these acronyms that people get confused. Are you talking about the FCC? Are you talking about the FTC? And does it really matter? So I think if that's okay with you, I'd like to start the FCC. What is the purpose of the FCC? What does the FCC regulate?
So the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, has generally had the mission of regulating telecommunications. And so when you look at the types of things that the FCC is involved with and the approaches that they take, you'll see that they generally are approaching things as a regulator that is very much used to licensing of things. And so started out with licensing of broadcast channels for radio and shortwave and those types of things. And then, you know, as telecommunications has grown and evolved, the Federal Communications Commission has really taken the lead from that type of enforcement standpoint as the regulator that is requiring, again, and this is something that has evolved a lot in the last year, but again, is requiring registration. And that goes all the way down to voice service providers now. So we'll back up and talk a little bit about that with voice service providers and carriers and those types of things, because it's important for the folks that are using the telephone as a means of outreach to their customers, their potential customers, leads, all of those types of things. So we'll come back a little bit and talk about how those each one of those entities are being regulated by the FCC. But the FCC is also responsible for enforcing the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. And the Telephone Consumer Protection Act goes back to 1992. That was when that was first passed. And then we have implementing regulations that the FCC has passed and has been interpreting ever since then. And you and I were just talking before this call that we think they're on their ninth report and order or proposed rulemaking at this point. So a lot going on recently with the FCC and amending their rules. But that, for purposes of the audience that we have, is probably where they would be most interested with the FCC, how they're regulating individuals that are using the telecommunications network to get out messages and to reach out either based on the fact that it's a marketing message or that they're using an automatic telephone dialing system or that they're using a pre-recorded or artificial, now that we're in the age of AI, artificial voice. So the FCC approaches their regulation really from that standpoint. What kind of equipment are they using? And then also the do not call regulation. So, you know, I always think of maybe the FCC being a little bit more nerdy than the FTC and that they really are interested in, you know, equipment and licensing and those types of things. And they just so happen to be partners with the FTC and the do not call federal enforcement. So that's on the FCC side.
Great. And as you said, we'll get back to that. And I think you raise a really good point, which is there are those people that are making calls, collecting data, collecting information, you know, sort of getting consent on leads. And then there are the people carrying the traffic, which I think is what you were alluding to. And I think you're right. We really don't spend a lot of time talking about the carriers. And so that'll be a good conversation to have. So on the other side, the federal agency that we really talk the most about in this space is the Federal Trade Commission or the FTC. So if you want to give a great overview as of the FCC for the FTC, what do they regulate? Where is their interest?
Yeah. So generally, when we think of the Federal Trade Commission, we think of the consumer watchdog. They became a federal agency. I was studying American history with my son in eighth grade, and I think it was either he had to study the Federal Trade Commission. So I had a lot of fun working with him and studying for that test. But the Federal Trade Commission has been around since the early 1900s. And so they really had two parts of their mission. One is consumer protection, and then the other is an antitrust mission that they have to enforce U.S. antitrust laws. We're not going to talk at all about that today. What we're interested in is the consumer protection mission that the FTC has. The FTC enforces the FTC Act, and their consumer protection mission is found in Section 5 of the FTC Act, which broadly prohibits unfair or deceptive acts or practices in the consumer marketplace by sellers. And so the FTC Section 5 of the FTC Act is also the basis for almost all of the state consumer protection regulations. You will find that the state consumer protection regulations that the AGs enforce largely mirror that Section 5 of the FTC Act. When I think about the FTC and how they approach things, the first thing you'll notice about the FTC is they're much better at marketing than the FCC. You can tell that this is an agency that is very concerned about marketing and advertising. It's probably one of the main focuses of their mission. And so as a result of that, they've gotten involved with telemarketing as well through their telemarketing sales rule. And we don't hear a lot about the telemarketing sales rule, or the TSR is the acronym for that, because there's not really a private right of action for the TSR. The FTC is the one that has the enforcement action there, as well as the state AGs. And the reason I say there really isn't a private right of action is because you have to have actual damages of at least $50,000 to bring a lawsuit. And I think, as we mentioned on a former episode, very difficult to think about how anybody would ever have $50,000 worth of damages, actual damages.
So in keeping true to my mission of leaving out the legalese, I am going to interrupt you and say, when you say there's no private right of action, you mean that the average consumer just can't go to court and sue, and that this is something that an agency really has the kind of exclusive jurisdiction. That's a legal word. Sorry. The exclusive authority.
To enforce. That's right. And so in 2003, both the FTC and the FCC got together, and they both put together the federal do not call list that the FTC manages. They're the ones responsible for that. But they put out their do not call laws, and that happened in 2003. So this is why we see a strong intersection between the FTC and the FCC, because they're both enforcing that national do not call list requirement that if you don't have consent, you have to scrub against that list. And so as a result, that's why you and I deal a lot with FTC, FCC, because we work with folks that make telephone calls or send text messages or pre-recorded messages. And these are the two primary federal agencies that are involved.
And I think this cooperation between the FTC and the FCC continues today, right? There are interagency task force. So I think one of the things I always like to sort of highlight when I speak on panels and talk about these is that they're not operating in a vacuum, even though each one has legal authority to enforce different rules for ease of explaining, correct?
That's right. They work very closely together. They have liaisons to each other's offices. They are very well aware of what the other is doing when it comes to enforcement actions and potential regulatory changes in this area. A lot of cooperation goes on there.
So maybe now that we've really kind of set the stage for what these two agencies do and how they have sort of authority in different regulatory spaces, maybe we could highlight a few of sort of their priorities right now, what each one is looking at. And then as we meet up monthly, we can dive into, I guess, maybe some of them more specifically. So let's turn back to the FCC. So what is really on the FCC's regulatory radar screen right now? I know we talked about one of them in our first conversation about the closing the lead generation loophole, but there's other proposed rulemaking going on as well.
Yeah. So the TRACED Act passed several years ago, and the FCC has primary enforcement under the TRACED Act. And what the TRACED Act was federal legislation that was passed that required the implementation of STIR SHAKEN. We'll come back to that in a second. But it also put much more responsibility on the FCC to regulate the carriers. So the when we think of the large carriers, the AT&Ts, the Sprints, those large carriers, Comcast, all of the others, and they're using their networks to carry illegal robocalls. Because I think the FTC and the FCC, and the FCC in particular, has come to the realization over the last five or so years that the best way to stop illegal telephone traffic is by requiring the regulators to police their own networks. And so they did that by requiring that that carriers know their customers and that they have an understanding of the type of telephone campaigns, marketing campaigns they're going to have, and that they also have an effective robocall mitigation plan, which is a term that that the FCC has used. And so starting with the TRACED Act, the FCC has focused much more on looking at the carriers, both the initiating carriers and the terminating carriers, the intermediate carriers in between, and the voice service providers that are basically providing VoIP telephone services that have the relationship with the customers that are initiating those telephone calls. So that whole ecosystem is what they call it. That whole ecosystem of the telecommunications world is what the FCC has been focusing on, based on the licenses that a lot of those folks are required to have with the FCC. They're required to be licensed by the FCC, or since the TRACED Act went into place, they're required to file with the robocall mitigation database if they're a voice service provider that is not required to have, otherwise required to have, an FCC license. And so what does all of that mean? What all of that means is that as interested as the FCC is in stopping any type of illegal calling traffic, they have made the carriers more concerned about that, because the threat is, if you carry illegal telephone calls, and that could be calls that maybe just don't have good lead sources for them, then you can be identified as an unreliable carrier for not having the appropriate robocall mitigation processes in place, and you will be labeled, as I said, an unreliable carrier, and the downstream carriers are not allowed to accept your traffic. So basically, it's a death knell for a company. You can no longer, if you're a voice service provider, initiate calls. If you're a carrier, you can no longer carry traffic. And so this has really been the FCC's mission lately, is that they're looking at the carriers to impose all of those laws that are mandated, or all of those requirements that are mandated in the TCPA and the telemarketing sales rule too.
So I sometimes get asked this very basic question, which is, what is a robocall? What is the definition of robocall? So when you hear, we need to stop illegal robocalls, people are scamming people with robocalls. How do you define a robocall?
Well, so this is how the agencies, I will tell you, define it. Or they haven't actually defined it, but we know because of their regulations, this is what they consider a robocall. So I mentioned a little bit earlier that the FCC is really interested in the type of equipment that's being used to place telephone calls. And so when the FCC is looking at what is a robocall, they're considering anything that's a pre-recorded or artificial voice initiated telephone call a robocall, or anything that's being generated, or I'm sorry, originated as through an automatic telephone dialing system is a robocall. So they're looking at automatic telephone dialing systems and pre-recorded messages. Those are robocalls, and those require specific consent in order to be making marketing calls using those if you're calling a cellular telephone or a pre-recorded message to home phones. So that's what they're focused on because of who they are and what their law is and what their mission is.
And I hope people are listening because I think that's an important distinction. I think there are a growing group of business owners out there that think a robocall is only a pre-recorded message, and that because of the case law that has developed, that has really narrowed the definition of what an automatic dialing system is, that you don't have to worry about that anymore. And now robocalls exclude dialed calls and are only pre-recorded messages. Now, I realize we could spend a whole episode on what really is an auto dialer today, but I love your answer because I think people are in their own minds narrowing what the regulatory agencies are looking at when they use the term robocall. Because you're right, it's not defined in any regulation. It's a made up word that, you know, is being used to drive regulatory enforcement actions. So it would be nice if there was, you know, a clear definition of how do I know I'm not making a robocall?
I mean, let's face it. We don't think about regulators thinking about sexy words, but it's a lot. It has a lot more appeal to be saying you're stopping robocalls mm-hmm. versus we're stopping illegal telemarketing calls. It just doesn't. It doesn't have the same appeal from that that consumer outreach perspective. And you know, if you look at the FTC and what they're considering a robocall, it's what you were saying. It's just pre-recorded messages because they don't have jurisdiction over the mechanisms like the FCC does. So they're not concerned about the automatic telephone dialing systems. It's just purely illegal pre-recorded messages. So yeah, different missions, different focuses, each of them have jurisdiction in those areas. And the state AGs have jurisdiction in both of those areas. So they can enforce the FCC's Telephone Consumer Protection Act or the FTC's telemarketing sales rule. So it all falls to the AGs.
And I think when we talked last time, we spent a good portion of our conversation talking about compliance programs and things that you should be doing to build good compliance programs. And I would add, going back to that conversation, that really understanding the distinction and difference between what does the FCC regulate, what does the FTC regulate. Now, maybe it's for your compliance professionals and your lawyers to really understand that. But I think, you know, any senior leadership of an organization involved in these activities should have a basic understanding of when I'm talking about this, this could be an FCC problem. This could be an FTC problem. And as we know, we've also talked about this could be a state attorney general problem. So
That's right.
That's good guidance.
And you know, I should probably mention, because we always forget about this because we don't think anybody faxes anymore, but you would be surprised how many companies are still using faxes and how many fax lawsuits are being filed because the FCC also has jurisdiction over those fax messages, and the TCPA requires certain disclosures in those and certain types of consent depending upon who you are. And actually for schools, this might be a bigger issue. We could probably do one on faxes one day as well. But just to remember that faxes are included in the FCC's jurisdiction.
Great. Well, I think maybe this is a good place to stop, where we've sort of highlighted the distinctions between the two agencies and what they're responsible for. I urge anyone listening who has particular questions to either send them by message to Michelle or to me, and we're happy to cover it. And as I said, we'll be doing this monthly, and we'll be keeping our eye on what's going on in the news, and we'll try to hit those at least once a month. So thank you again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in a month.
My pleasure. Thank you.